The kids are better at fulfilling their cues than the pastor is. It should be that way. Friends, Merry Christmas. It is good to be with you tonight. Let's pray and acknowledge the Lord's presence, and then a brief word. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you that you have sent the Christ child into this world, that you looked at the world and you chose to enact mercy where judgment was required and necessary, but you chose mercy, Lord God. We thank you that you have done this great thing in and through Christ Jesus. You have sent the God-man into this world to show us who you are and to show us who we're supposed to be and to rescue us from evil. Lord God, this night, please be with us. Help us to experience all that you want to show us of Christmas for the sake of our own hearts, our own households. Please be with us. In the great name of Jesus, amen. Well, Merry Christmas, friends. So the kids, when asked, what would you get the Lord Jesus for Christmas, right? And of course, they had varying answers, some of them not even in English, but there we are. And it's an interesting question, because obviously this is the primo gift-giving season, right? And so where we all have received gifts, some of us have already received them. Some of us have the tradition of maybe you open gifts on Christmas Eve. You know that some of those, we open some of ours on Christmas Eve. And then others, of course, you're waiting for tomorrow. Tomorrow being Christmas Day is a big day where there will be a lot of gift-giving and gift exchanges and things like that. And then, it's an interesting question to ask, well, what would you give, Jesus? Right? What would you give, Jesus Christ for Christmas? How would that happen? What would you do? And the one answer up there that I want to point to is one of the kids said, my soul, and you could maybe, translate that a little bit to, I would give him myself, myself. And it's interesting because the Christmas story starts out on the other end of that, where God is giving to the world, is putting in the world's hand God's own son. Because Christmas is a weird story, right? I mean, for Christians, it's one thing. Sometimes people say, man, you guys believe in kooky things. And I'll look back at people and say, oh, you don't know the half of it. You have no idea. I mean, when you look at the Bible, yeah, We do. We believe in some things that might, stretch your imagination a little bit. And I'm not ashamed of any of them. Not in the least. We believe that the living God looked down upon humankind who rebelled radically against him and had every right to judge humankind, had every right to just say, I'm done. I'm done with this puppy. We hear a lot of cries for justice right now. Justice is one of the biggest words that's on the lips of our culture. Well, God had the right to enact justice upon us, right? Because human beings committed cosmic treason. And yet God said, I know what I'm going to do for humans. I love them, and I should uphold justice, but I am going to uphold justice, but I'm also going to, I'm going to show them immense mercies. And so what God does is God sends to us a God-man, his own son, who's authentically divine and authentically human, and sends him to us because we are out of step with who God is, so we have to be shown who God is. And at the same time, we have to be shown who we're supposed to be. Because when we screw up, it's not just a thing about, I screwed up and I'm only human. Actually, no, it's not true. When we screw up before God, whether we are rebelling against God or hurting one another, we actually are behaving in a subhuman way. And so God says, I got to resolve this tension. And the way to do this, I'm going to show people who I am and show people who they're supposed to be at the exact same time. Hence the Christ child who we sing about. Hence the God-man, right? God kills two birds with one stone in one person, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because how the story goes is that God is taking this massive risk. God sends Christ as a baby, not as a warrior, right? Not as someone who's going to slaughter all the infidels or something like that. No, as a little baby. I mean, when we read these nativity stories, Christ is not doing anything other than being born. That's it. There's gobs of angels, right? Gobs of angels, and then there's normal people like you and me. Normal people, and God puts the God-man, the Savior of the world, into our hands, right? He puts him in our hands. Mary and Joseph, he puts Jesus Christ into their hands and basically just says, look, protect him and be really awesome parents, which is like kind of a high bar because you got to be parents to the Messiah. Yikes. You think raising your kids is tough. Wow. Right? But that's it. You know, be good parents, protect the kid. And I would imagine along with that, you know, have a good marriage, right? That's pretty much it, right? That's it. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who are John the Baptist's parents, right? For them, it's prepare his way. He's going to grow up one day. He's going to need an advance team, right? Your miracle baby is the head of the advance team. Prepare the way, right? Shepherds, right? God knows that they raise sheep. That's what they do. But he turns them into the messaging team, the street team. Announce him. Announce him. Spread the word. Shepherds were like, you know, you have to know the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, right? Well, that's, you gotta have, everybody needs a guy, right? Everybody needs a guy or a few guys. Shepherds were some of those guys. You gotta have the shepherds, especially in a Jewish culture where a big part of worshiping God is, you know, is leveraging animals and animal sacrifice to worship God. You better know a good shepherd, right? He says, announce him, right? And then there's these weirdo guys in the narrative, these magi who pop up, who basically are pagan astrologers. And he even calls them in. So nobody knows what to do with those guys, right? They show up on the scene and he just says, hey, enrich him. You got this, you know, kind of working poor family. And what are they bringing? They're bringing frankincense, right? And myrrh and gold, right? Hey, man, a family just starting out could use that. That's not bad. That's not a bad haul, right? That's a pretty good baby shower. That's not bad, right? That's not bad. Enrich him, right? Lastly, there's these two people called Simeon and Anna. They get short shrift during Christmas, sadly. They're kind of at the end of Christmas, right? At the end of our nativity narratives. An older man and an older woman, and they've been waiting for the Messiah, and they're both prophets, right? And what the Lord says is, receive the one you've been waiting for. Receive him. This is the one you've been waiting for, right? And Simeon even says it. Well, he says, now I can die. I'm good. I see this baby and I am good. Lord, take me now. I'm good, right? Protect him, raise him, prepare the way for him, announce him, enrich him, receive him. The Lord puts the God-man, the Savior of the world, into our hands. What a risk. What a God, right? And so when we ask the question, you know, what do we get Jesus for Christmas, right? It's interesting that the Christmas story starts out with God giving the God-man to us with instructions, but God giving the God-man to us. So time goes by. And he grows up, and he's awesome, right? And we don't get a big sketch of, you know, what he was like as a teenager, you know, all that kind of thing. We don't get all that stuff. We come across the Gospels in the New Testament. Jesus is a full-grown man, right? And he's ready to fulfill his mission, right? And he comes about announcing the kingdom of God, the rule of God, and showing people what it looks like. He says, when God is king, dead people don't stay dead. He raises them back to life. Sick people don't stay sick. He heals them. He casts demons out of people. And then he begins to teach people all of his life what it is to be a citizen of this great kingdom, right? And suddenly things switch because no longer is God putting the God-man in our hands. Now he's putting us in his hands. And so the question from the previous video stands. What do we get Christ for Christmas? Well, we give him us. We give him us. But you might say, I like him when he's a baby. Do you like him when he's all grown up? Right? I mean, because he's a baby, man. I mean, he's not doing much. But now he, like, you know, he's a grown man. He acts like he's going to run the joint. Do you want to give Jesus yourself for Christmas? A passage from Growing Up Jesus may persuade us to do so. This is from Matthew chapter 11. It's very short, verses 28 through 30. And it's a part of a larger teaching, so forgive me. I'm kind of bursting at the end here, bursting in on the teaching he's already doing. But here's what Jesus says, speaking to a crowd of people just like this. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And I would say that from this, we should give Jesus ourselves for Christmas. Why? Why? Because he welcomes those who are weary and burdened, right? All of us at some point in time, whether we feel it or not, or whether we're able to articulate it or not, fall into this category, right? Weary and burdened. Sometimes we know. Sometimes that we have medical things we're dealing with. Sometimes we have family stuff that we're dealing with, especially right now in a politically charged climate where a lot of families have been kind of blown to smithereens because they hold the different political or ideological stances. That will make you feel really weary and really burdened, especially right around Christmas, right? Sometimes it's other things. It's financial, or something's up with marriage, or we got dissonance between us and our kids. And he looks at us and says, "You come to me. You come to me," right? Why? He says, "I'll give you rest." Just that simple. I mean, it's a weird statement because, like, there's a whole panorama of things that could fall into the category of burdens. And here he's saying, "I got you." Right? "I will give you rest." Right? "I will give you rest." And he will. Right? He will. Because Jesus gives us life. Right? Jesus helps us to carry our load. Right? He can do this. Because not only did he eventually get all grown up, but he also got resurrected from the dead. He also is the Lord who, as the Apostles' Creed said, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, which just pretty much means he runs stuff. That guy can give you rest because that guy can help you carry your burden. Right? It says, "Take my yoke upon you and you learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart and you'll find rest for your souls." Right? This yoke he's talking about is this imagery of teaching, right? It's teaching. It would be like a Jewish rabbinical term for teaching, right? And he's saying, look, there's some phony baloney teachers out there who will teach you like this thing, and it's like a yoke that's resting on you that you can't pull it. Kind of like oxen being tied to a yoke. If you've ever seen oxen or seen, you know, domesticated animals pull, you know, like a cart as people are trying to sow seed, right? He's saying, look, or they're trying to plow soil. He says, look, there's some phony baloney teachers out there who will put something on top of you that you can't pull. He's like, hey man, you take my yoke upon you. And it's going to be the real deal. It won't be something that'll crush you. It's funny, his logic here, he says, learn from me. In other words, I'm not like other teachers. Why? For I am gentle and humble in heart. Isn't that fascinating? He didn't say learn from me because I'm really smart. I'm really smart. I know so many other things. I'm smarter than the interwebs. He doesn't say that. He says learn from me because I'm gentle and humble in heart. We live in a culture right now that has lost the ability to be gentle. We are not gentle with each other, right? And the internet makes it a lot easier to be savage because we got the digital distance, but then we got real world consequences. And Jesus says, I am not like that. I won't dox you. I won't destroy you on Facebook. I won't destroy you via Instagram. And that thing you said about 10 years ago that you really shouldn't have said because, like, you know, you were really young and you didn't know much, right? I won't bring that back to haunt you. That's not me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. And this last thing he says is that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, my teaching, what I teach, is easy and it's light. And you might look at that and go, what? Like, I've read the Gospels. Holy cow. Jesus, like, teaches stuff that sets my soul on fire. He says, deny yourself and follow me. Carry your cross, even, he says, and follow me, right? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, right? How could he say my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Because some of the things Jesus teaches are difficult. I've been following, next year for me will be 30 years following Jesus, having come from occultism in college. And there's been some difficult seasons of following Jesus. How could he say this? Well, here's what he means. He means this, that basically in the end, right, everybody might have has a tough time following Jesus' teachings, which is why a lot of people don't follow Jesus' teachings, right? But he's saying in the end, it's so much better. This is a far lighter burden than some other thing you might turn to. There's things that on the front end seem awesome and burdens that seem light, and they're great and they're wonderful and they're affirmed by the entire world all the time, especially anything, by the way, that involves pleasure. Oh, yeah. That seems like a really light burden. Talk to me in 5 years and you'll see how light it really is. He's saying, look, at the end of the day, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At the end of the day, what I give you is life-giving teaching and the ability to actually put it into action. Friends, this Christmas, we should give Jesus ourselves, right? Whether you're a person who does not know Christ yet, or whether you're a person who does and you are just coming to know him better, give Jesus yourself, right? Because he's gentle and won't destroy us. Give Jesus yourself because he's in the position to be able to help us to carry all of our burdens, and he gives real rest, not fake rest, right? Give Jesus yourself because, yeah, following Jesus at times gets tough, right? Because he teaches us things that run counter to the way we're wired. We are rebels against the holy God. But at the end of the day, in the long haul, what he teaches is amazing and life-giving, and it becomes easy down the stretch, as opposed to things that start out and sound easy but are terrible down the road. So yes, the kids are right. The kids got it right. You know, kids usually do get it right. That's why kids ask questions that philosophers are still trying to figure out. Kids usually get it right. This Christmas, give Jesus yourself. Give Jesus yourself because he's worth it and because he's only got good in mind for you. And if that's something, a journey you're starting tonight, we have in the seat backs in front of you, there's a little card that says, let's talk. That's what it means. It just means, hey, this is like stuff that is tough to suss out all in one evening. And so you're going to need an ongoing conversation. Let's talk. And that's what it means. Let's talk. Fill that out. We got you. You know, because we're working to be gentle and lowly like him as well. Okay. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to light the Christ candle. Jesus at one point in time in John's gospel calls himself the light of the world and says that he's able to keep people from stumbling in the dark. And then I'm going to light the Christ candle right now, and then we're going to continue on in worship. And then down the road, I'm going to come back up here, and then what we're going to do is I'm going to light candles from my two lovely children up here, and then eventually we are going to, one by one, light up candles all over the sanctuary. But do know that the doors are open and the opportunity is here to give Jesus yourself tonight, because he is gentle and humble in heart, and he is for you. Amen? Praise God.